Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, December 1st, 2014. Wow, it's December already. Holy crap. Anyhow, today I have with me quite often
the A-team.
Partners in
crime. The A-team.
All right, we'll go with the A-team. Sure.
Okay.
Lots of fun at parties. Can't hit anything with a gun. Good to know. John Martellaro, how are you?
Good morning. good morning to you, Kelly.
And good morning to you as well. So which ones are we if we're the A-team? Who's pitying fools? That's really what I want to know.
I'm pretty sure John pities the fools.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that you're face man. And I'm pretty
that
sure
leaves
that
you
means
Hannibal and Murdoch.
I'm pretty sure that means I'm Murdoch. Yeah. You guys come and break me out so that we can go on our adventures, and I do appreciate
awesome.
That.
And then you and I drug John so we can get on a plane.
See, this sounds like the makings. We could do this as a podcast on the road.
It sounds like a thing that could actually happen.
It totally does. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
There's no way this is not a great idea.
I know. I have a feeling I know what our first video podcast is going to be.
Excuse me while I adjust my jewelry here.
That's right. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and it's Smile Software. So I'm very excited that we'll be talking about
them
soon. The first topic I wanted to hit today this is actually something that I witnessed on my own iPhone or experienced on my own iPhone and happened to come across like a Reddit discussion about the problem, and people have dubbed it Crescent Gate.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. We have another
now,
gate.
Now, let me just ask, though, Jeff, first of all, how did you come across this? And then, second of all, is there enough here to warrant a gate? Because remember, we had Benghazi, and that really actually wasn't as much of a thing as people really tried to turn it into.
You know, it really bothers me that people do the Benghazi, Bend Gate, Antenna Gate, in this case, Crescent Gate. I mean, first, none of these are actually apartment complexes. So that's kind of weird right there.
There is that.
So tell us what the problem is, Jeff.
Okay. The problem is that if you have an iPhone 6 or iPhone 6 Plus, there's a possibility that the front-facing camera will physically shift to the left in its housing. So when you look at the camera, part of the lens is obscured by the opening that it actually shoots through, and part of the edge of the metal edge, the bezel for the camera itself, underneath the display becomes visible. That little piece of silver that you see from the lens edge or the camera edge is a crescent shape, hence Crescent Gate.
Was that like that out of the box, or did you perhaps drop the phone?
Some people are reporting their iPhone looks like that out of the box. Other people are noticing it later, and I noticed mine later, but it didn't really click. That's what I was seeing until this morning, when I'm like, that really looks weird. And the only drop my iPhone has had was from about a foot and a half onto a carpeted floor. So I don't think in my case a drop would be responsible.
Does it hose up the image when you look at it on the display?
That was my question. If you take a picture with it or something, do you end up with a weird artifact in the image itself or something?
Shadowing or something? Or
yeah, like a finger over the lens?
Yeah.
No, but it's hard for me to tell if there's a little bit of darkness on one side of the image or not, because lighting.
Oh, then it's a feature.
Then there you go. It's a feature. So, yeah, so for me, it doesn't appear that it's causing major issues for photographs. But I'm betting for some people it is, because there have been enough people complaining online that it's a problem. I'm assuming for some people their camera has shifted farther than mine.
Mm.
But the actual aperture, or what appears to be the aperture on mine, it's pushed all the way up to the edge of the black rim.
That should seriously hose your image, you know?
I can see where it would be a problem. And I'm assuming if my camera shifts anymore, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if it shifts more, you're going to end up with a hole in the front of your phone, right?
Well, a hole underneath the glass on the front of my phone.
Okay.
Because the display glass actually covers this completely.
That's a warranty issue, so you shouldn't have any trouble getting a new phone.
Well, I went to see what happens. So I have a Genius Bar appointment set. Actually, after we're done recording and publishing this episode, I'll have to take off and go to the Apple Store because I have my appointment set up to get my phone looked at and see what they have to say about this.
See if you can kind of needle the genius a little and find out if this has been common.
That's what I'm hoping to find out.
Yeah.
And if I do find out, of course, I won't mention any names because I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Of course.
Of course, because I'm a nice guy like that. But anyhow, so this is a problem I'm experiencing. It doesn't sound like anyone else on the TMO team is really experiencing this.
I have an iPhone 6 and mine looks perfect.
There you go. And it seems, though, that there are enough people outside of our TMO circle that are experiencing the problem that it's an issue at least on some level. But it appears that Apple is taking care of most people that are showing up with cameras that have shifted position. Either they're getting a new phone or the front display is being popped off and a new one's put on because the camera actually comes off with the front display.
Okay. So this makes me wonder, I know every year we hear about Apple made, you know, twice as many iPhones for this launch as they did for the one before, as they did for the one before, as they did for the one before. Are they slipping? Because this is the second, presumably, manufacturing defect that we have seen on the 6 and the Plus. The first was that it would flex, you know, for some people, which, again, like I said, was not a very widespread issue, but for some people it was. You know, we had the antenna issue with the 4, but the antenna issue was sort of an antenna issue for everybody. Basically, there, you know, we had other manuals from other cell phone manufacturers that said, yeah, if you hold it like this, it's going to goof with the antenna and da 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 da. So we've seen these kinds of things before, but it's only ever been like sort of one per model.
Might not be a manufacturing design. It may not be a design issue. It may be part and parcel of the manufacturing process whereby
that's what I mean.
The design was good, but something goes wrong during manufacturing.
Right. And because they had to get 11 dejillion out the door, then maybe this is something that somehow, you know, something slipped, whether it was QA, whether it was something in the manufacturing process, something may have happened here. And I'm wondering, what do you guys think? Because it sort of is sounding to me like this might be that kind of thing.
Well, part of good design is robustness such that it can't go together wrong.
Right.
Or the manufacturing process can't do it wrong. Everybody, you guys remember the Hubble Space Telescope, right?
It was
designed perfectly. Everything would have been perfect except when a worker was assembling part of the mirror assembly, there was an extra washer and it wouldn't fit quite right because he wasn't quite adept at it. So he decided that because the washer wouldn't fit, he would leave it out. And he didn't tell anybody. And that was enough to shift the mirror enough
to screw up the
testing apparatus. And the testing apparatus said, oh, yeah, it's perfect. And it wasn't.
Right.
So, and Toyota is well known for that, too. You know, you design, you integrate quality with the CAD system in such a way, and this is an art, such that, you know, you don't just design it for looks and manufacturability. You design it for reliability. And there's an art to that so that when the pieces go together, they tend to stay together and work right. So the question is, did Apple screw up in the design in such a way that it could be put together wrong or that it could shift if you drop it? Or was it put in place wrong during the manufacturing process and because somebody was in a hurry? That's So that's
which
what
is
I'm thinking
entirely
right now.
Possible.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing, though, you know.
Well, my question is, since Apple had to make so many of these and still, you know, sold out ridiculously quickly, is it just something on manufacturing on that kind of scale that is causing something like this? Because remember, when people really started looking into Benghazi, it was, well, the five, you know, the Bend Gate. Well, you know, the five kind of did this for some people too. And then, you know, the four, you know, the first time I ever saw somebody bend an iPhone, it was a four. And so, you know, we sort of found that it was really not a manufacturing issue. And I'm wondering if having to put something out on this kind of scale is the thing that is causing this sort of thing to slip, because it would be maybe something that would affect a few people if this had happened with, say, the iPhone 5.
Well, when I think about scale, I think about how that lens goes in there. Is there a little bit of adhesive that holds it in place, or does the display glass hold it in place? Mm-hmm. And what manufacturing process could lead to having the lens shift before the glass is put on? Maybe a tool wears out or something, and then they replace the tool, and everything goes fine. Or does the adhesive, if there is adhesive, around the edges not get applied properly because of variations in the manufacturing process? And so those with less adhesive tend to slide out a little bit if you drop the phone onto a carpet.
I wonder if it's something of an error of scale, like 0.01% of sixes, whether they're a six or a plus, have this problem. Yeah. The problem is, since there are 10 million of them or 100 million of them instead of 1 million of them, it means that 0.01% is a whole bunch more people.
And that's where I think we are with this. I think this is something that's happening on the grand scheme of things, a very small scale, but because because there are so many iPhone 6 and 6 Pluses out there, the number of people that are vocal about seeing a problem is much higher. And my hypothesis is that this is not an inherent flaw in the design of the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, but that this is an anomaly in the production process. And maybe there's adhesive that isn't at the right temperature, or it's not applied with the right pressure, or whatever. And so the camera doesn't sit in the right place, and it shifts. And sometimes it happens right away. Sometimes it happens later. Maybe this is happening just to people that put their iPhone in their pocket, and the glass surface sitting against their leg gets hot.
Or maybe when they put it in their pocket, the pressure on the display causes the display to buckle a little bit and allow the lens to shift.
Sure. Yeah.
And you said you didn't see a difference in the image, in the camera view on the display. So maybe Apple will say, well, this little bit of shift is within tolerance. And since there's no effect on the actual camera image as you see it, live with it.
and we'll see.
Yeah.
Long as it isn't an issue for photo quality, then it's probably not a big deal.
I like my theory about the case bending and the lens shifting. I like that.
Well, I'll see what I can find out.
Well, in the olden days, I worked at a company that was a manufacturer of jazz drives. Remember those?
Oh, yes.
And the awesome thing about a jazz drive was it had these little cartridges, and the cartridges would hold a gigabyte of information, which was mind-blowing at the time. That's longer ago than I'm necessarily willing to admit. The reason that they were able to get a gigabyte in there was because they glued the platters together. And then nobody made a jazz drive that had a fan in it. So over time, it would get hot. And as it got hot, the glue would melt, and one of the
delamination
would shift the tiniest bit, and now all of a sudden you had the click of death. And the click of death meant you were never getting anything off of that drive, off of that cartridge, ever, ever, ever. And it was horrible, and it was exactly the same thing. It was, you know, a tiny bit of heat against the glue and a tiny bit of shift, and here we are. So it's entirely possible that something like that's what's happening. So, Jeff, I'm very curious to hear what that Genius Bar has to tell you.
I will report back on that. And and I want to talk about our sponsor today, which is Smile Software. And the product that I want to tell everyone about this week is PDF Pen Scan Plus 1.5. And PDF Pen Scan Plus is a great application that you use on your iPhone or iPad, and it lets you use the built-in camera as a scanner. So you can scan documents, and then it will perform OCR on the documents. So it takes the printed text and turns it into editable text. And it's simply amazing. It is akin to magic. It works really well. It's an application that I'm so glad that I have on my iPhone, because as it turns out lately, when I need to scan documents, more often than not, I'm not anywhere around my desk where I have a flatbed scanner. Right. So my iPhone comes out, I snap a photograph with a PDF Pen Scan and let it do its thing. And I've got my scan. And then I can send it off to Dropbox, so it's available on all my devices right away. It's a beautiful thing.
And I want to point out that when we talk about documents, you know, a lot of people think of scanning documents as like a bunch of 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. You know, in a variety of ways, like you're looking at, you know, some sort of legal documentation, or you've got like a warranty piece of paper, whatever. And let me tell you, my killer app, my killer use for PDF Pen Scan Plus is receipts. Because I can always shoot those over. And then what I do is I save them out, and then I shoot that off to Evernote, which lets me search all of that text that went into the document. So now I'm like, oh, wait, I need that receipt that I had for when I took that cab ride that time, whatever it is. You know, I know it was a cab. I know it was this date. I know it was whatever. I can go and search on any piece of text in the receipt, and it pops up for me, and it's amazing. And so whatever sort of workflow you have where you end up having to digitize something, doesn't matter what it is, this is a really awesome way to do it. My number one use is receipts, and my number two use is a recipe on a piece of paper that sounds really cool, and I'm going to go make it later. I will usually take a picture of that with Scan Plus and store those that way. So think of it as way more than just I have a piece of paper that needs to be digitized. Yeah, and it just gets more useful. And of course, it's Smile. We love them.
Yeah, we totally love them. I will have a link to PDF Pen Scan Plus version 1.5 in today's show notes. And thank you to Smile for being our sponsor. We ended up talking so long about the whole iPhone camera thing that we're like out of time. So, but I did want to hit some Cyber Monday deals. Is there one deal, Kelly, that you found that you're like, oh, wow, this is the best?
There is. It's not very budget friendly, and that's usually my thing, but I'm going to go with this. GroveMade.com is, as you guys know, because I've been a long time advocate of, have you seen this case? They're beautiful. Everything's amazing. They have gift cards now. And here's the thing about their gift cards is their gift card is actually not a card. It's a thin piece of wood. And then when you buy one, they have some discounts right now. A $100 gift card is $100. But if you buy a $200 gift card, it will cost you $180. And if you buy a $300 gift card, it costs you $240. So for a $200 card, you get 10% off. For a $300 card, you get 20% off. And the best thing about it is that when you get the card, it's got this little snowflake pattern sort of cut around into it. And what you do is you punch out the pieces, and it turns into a little Christmas star made of wood that is really awesome. You can find it over at GroveMade.com, and you can give someone a gift or, you know, get a deal for yourself on some really amazing stuff for your desk, stuff for your phone. They make amazing things right here in Portland, and I just adore them.
That's awesome. All right, so the Cyber Monday deal I found that I'm quite excited about, CrashPlan, the online backup company, $42 for an individual subscription for a year.
What?
Yeah, family subscriptions, $105.
That's not even $4 a month.
Yeah. So if you're looking at using CrashPlan as your online backup system, $42 for a year, that's really hard to beat.
That's very hard to beat.
John, is there any Cyber Monday deal that you found?
No. Actually, I've been ignoring them.
And that's
but
okay,
I do
too.
Have a tip. So okay. In lieu of Cyber Monday notes, I will give everybody a quick tip. I have learned from DirecTV, and it's official, that you can only use the selected Samsung 4K TVs with their DVRs. So if you're thinking about running out to Best Buy in the next few days and buying a beautiful new Sony 4K TV for your DirecTV network, do not expect it to work very well. So, or a Panasonic. So that's my tip for Monday.
All right.
Monday shoppers.
And so hopefully you saved at least one person a lot of money right there.
Yeah.
All right. So we're like way beyond out of time. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Anytime.
And John, thank you for joining me as well.
Kelly, call me a cab.
Hey, John, you're a cab.
Thank you.
This is why I drink, people. And thank you to our sponsors, Smile Software, for sponsoring the show this week. And we will see everyone tomorrow.